KPOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Welcome to Talk of Emporia, 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. Chuck Samples, your host here today, as our program is brought to you, as per usual, by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. It's open Sundays. The special menu is back, featuring some of those classic Bobby D's favorites. You've got some of those Bobby D's Chef's Creative Culinary Barbecue creations, all part of that special menu, but it's only Sundays at Bobby D's. And we're also brought to you, as usual, by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health. We are a little bit more than 2 months out officially from the Emporia Community Foundation's official match day date, which is November 17th. But given the fact that we've got 35 different participating groups in Lyon and surrounding counties, and we don't have room here in the Roger Hartsook interview room to get everybody in, either on a time basis or just basically with space, we are starting the process here this morning of introducing you to the different match day participants here this year. So I'll go down the list here that Linda Kara Schmidt with the Community Foundation provided here yesterday. But from Kansas Spanish Speakers, we have Leland Danes joining us here today. From the Streets Cats Club, we have Victoria Partridge. Also from the Strong City Preservation Alliance, Justin Garr joining us today. From Matt Field Green Works, we have Christy Reinhardt and Philip Hying. And from Main Street Mamas, we have Elizabeth Guzmall joining us here today. So everybody, thank you for joining us. Very glad to have you in. And we're going to jump right into our interviews. We'll talk more about the match day process, the match day overview, really just kind of how this works, how you can get involved here over the next couple of months. But we figure we'll just jump right in here and talk with our participating organizations. And don't forget, too, that our Talk of Emporia is every Friday through the middle of October are now dedicated to Match Day 2025. So with that in mind, we'll start off with Street Cats Club founder Victoria Partridge to talk more about the club and its organizations. Victoria, good to see you.
Good to see you.
How's it going today?
Pretty good. I mean, the weather, it's fall, apparently.
I know. We kind of zoomed past late summer, thank goodness, didn't we?
Yeah.
So how does that kind of put a charge into you guys at Street Cats Club, or does it kind of, that fall feel maybe change anything for you guys at the club?
So the fall feel doesn't really change a whole lot, but the rain changes a lot, because a lot of the work that we do is the trap, neuter, return. Mm-hmm. And if the weather is really rainy, cats are going to hunker down. And so it's a lot more difficult for us to trap cats. So we have to switch the strategy that we use to trap them so that we can be successful and get as many as possible so that we can get them fixed and make sure that they stop making babies.
Gotcha. For folks that aren't familiar here with Street Cats Club, I know we had you on our airwaves here a couple of months back talking about Lollapalooza. But,
yes. But
for folks that aren't familiar with what you do, what do you do?
Yeah. So Street Cats Club was started in 2019, and our goal is to improve the lives of stray cats. Just really simple. But we do that through what I was talking about, the trap, neuter, return, which is going out and humanely trapping stray cats, getting them spayed or neutered. We also rabies vaccinate them and ear tip them so that we know that they've been fixed. And then we return them back to where we found them. And that is the most humane way to cease the repopulation and help control the growth of the stray cats that are happening here in our community. We also provide foster care for sick, injured, and orphaned cats that are found out on the streets. And then we have a couple of community outreach programs, including the Lola Love Fund, which is a grant that we started a few years ago for free span neuter for low-income cat owners. We hand out dry cat food for people who are caring for cat colonies, and then we make winter shelters every winter.
How busy are you? And do people still kind of have any sort of clue just to how busy you actually are on a daily or even annual basis?
No. I mean, we're so busy, and no, nobody has a clue except for those who like start working with us. That's the thing that we kind of are always trying to figure out. How do we tell that story to be more transparent about how many requests we get every single day? And one of the things that I think helps paint the impact and the need is that we have this running list of cats that need to be fixed throughout the community. And it always has about 1,500 cats on it. No matter how many cats we do, we get new requests every single day for our free PNR services. And we're doing 40 to 80 cats every single month, and still 1,500 cats are remaining on that list. The need is extreme.
The fact that it's the number is that high, does that kind of weigh you guys down a little bit? Or does it kind of recharge you every day saying, hey, we still have these felines that we've got to get to and better the community and what you do?
It is like a challenge. Like, we're like, how do we do more? And so that's part of what we're doing here with Match Day is how do we do more? How can we increase the amount of cats that we do? Because we do approximately 600 cats every single year, and we want to double that impact. And we have some strategies that we can use to double that impact in 2026. But for that, we have to change the way that we do fundraising and make sure that we've got funds that are coming in that can be applicable to that service versus some of the other services that we offer.
Okay, which leads into the question here. How much of an honor and how significant is it to be included in Match Day 2025?
So it's a huge honor, as always. We've been in Match Day once before. It was a couple of years ago. One of the things that I think is really cool about this particular year is that it's the first year in a really long time they've had multiple animal groups be chosen to be recipients of this particular opportunity, and I'm so stoked for that. But yeah, I always love working on this project, having this opportunity to do this sort of fundraising, you know, work with the Emporia Community Foundation and grow that relationship, and of course meet the other people that are also working on this. This is so great.
Mm-hmm. Again, Victoria Partridge joining us as we get started here and really lead off our coverage here of Emporia Community Foundation's Match Day coming up November 17th. And again, this is the first of several of our Talk of Emporias all on Fridays over the next month and a half that is dedicated here to these participant profiles. The work that you're doing, you know, how many people do you have that are with you here on this process and making the cats' lives better?
So that's a part of our group that I'm really proud of, is that we have about 40 volunteers that help us out. That's about half ENR or half foster homes, and then about a third TNR, and then, well, I guess a fourth TNR, and then a fourth, like, admins and the board of directors.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so it's a really robust group of people who are super passionate and are either doing the work by bringing it into their homes or going out into the field and helping trap cats and then doing all the cleanup afterwards and transports or fielding calls. It's just incredible how many people are working with us to make this happen, and all just volunteers.
That's outstanding. And you mentioned here you're kind of changing your funding approach here so you can get some more cats. What specifically do you have in mind here for the Match Day funding?
So for the Match Day funds, how we're going to use them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we really want to use them to, right now, most of our TNR is done through the K-State mobile unit and through the K-State student shelter med program.
Okay.
And what we'd like to do is we'd like to branch out to start paying local vets. We have a couple of opportunities with local vets to get some discounted rates and start really increasing the amount of cats that we do every single month so that we can get that number of cats that we're spaying and neutering higher, which means less cats are getting born on the streets, and that's going to reduce the impact and the need of the local shelter and other rescues here in town.
Outstanding. Well, Victoria, great work. Looking forward to chronicling how you guys do with Match Day here this year. Appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you.
All right, Victoria Partridge with Street Cats Club joining us. Let's shift over to my left, and we'll actually move a couple of spots up. Justin Gar with Strong City Preservation Alliance. Justin, what's going on here with the Preservation Alliance here as we get into Match Day?
Everything's going really, really good.
Good.
We've got a lot of new things going on. We've got the west end of the theater finally cleaned up. All the stage and mezzanine area is completely gone now, and the walls are structurally sound. We're just trying to raise enough money to rebuild the stage and mezzanine. There's a couple of bathrooms in that area. There's three office spaces. We're not sure if we're going to go back with three, but we got two bathrooms up there. And then we'll get the stage rebuilt so that we can start doing either some live performances or just have a stage area in that area. And once we get the stage and mezzanine done, then it's the final push to do the main seating area.
Okay.
And once we get that completed, then we'll have the upper part of the theater to use as an event venue. And then the last part of the phase will be the balcony.
So you got phases within phases, the way it sounds. How significant and how much of a relief was it to get to the point where you're at right now? Because this has been, you know, it's been a long time coming. It's a labor of love for you guys, but it's been a while.
Yeah, this has been about a 23, 24-year project. And for the first 17, 18 years, it's been really hard to get any local support as well as the good fundraising that we need.
Sure.
And raising the money to do what we did. Now, the original group, they did manage to get a grant to put the new roof, and that helped a lot, just getting that done, because it was just four walls.
Four walls, no roof.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And that, you know, that doesn't do any rock building any good at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what year they put the new roof on. It was a long time ago, close to 20 years maybe.
Okay.
And then it's just been a slow process of getting enough money to do, like, the lobby area, which we just completed, the structural part of it and part of the stage or the balcony. And then we had a great donation from the theater in Wichita for some
awesome
theater seating.
Mm-hmm.
That they had extra that they were replacing.
Gotcha.
So we were able to get those picked up.
How big is it for you guys to have Empora Community Foundation match day on your conversations and your correspondence here this year?
That's a huge thing for us. This will be our third year doing match day. And the first 2 years, we did over $30,000 in match day. And, that gives us a chance to go after some of the bigger grants that we wouldn't normally have the funds for. And then with our account with ECF, that has been able to grow so much over the years that we have a fairly large net worth, but still not enough to do anything. But it's enough to go, all right, we can jump into this grant with matching funds and think we can get something done. So.
Yeah, Justin Gard joining us here again as we continue here on Talk of Emporia. Strong City Preservation Alliance, one of the 35 different community groups across Lyon and surrounding counties that are involved in the Emporia Community Foundation's Match Day here over the next couple of months. And one of the things that, if you're listening to us and this is a new concept for you, keep in mind these groups that are involved here this year, and we'll be highlighting this a lot, probably every program that we have on Talk of Emporia, they're all dedicated to quality of life matters. Whether it's local or area-wide, really regardless, they're area-wide, but specifically in their respective communities, it's all about quality of life. And Justin, let me get your thoughts on that side of things here, the quality of life that the theater, really, I think, even now, even though it's not done, is providing here for Strong City area residents, and what is ahead once this is all fleshed out.
Yeah, that's right. This the quality of life is a huge thing for us. We want to do a lot of things for the kids in the community. Right across the street from the park is the new park that was built.
I was hoping you'd mention that, yeah.
And the new splash pad that just got completed a couple of years ago. And by having the theater right there, we can get some kids programs in there. We're currently talking to the Emporia Arts Council and see if they want to come on board with us and help us out with some of these programs. And we're really excited about that and getting more involvement for children, more activities for children, as well as, you know, the seniors in the area. They talk about doing some different little workshops. And what's really helped us with all of that is we've brought Becky Jeppesen Nurnberg on board.
Mm-hmm.
As an advisor, and she's been doing a really good job of keeping us on task and not letting us stray too far from where we want to go. And she's the one that kind of brought the Emporia Arts Council to our attention. So a big thank you to her on everything that she's done for us.
Yeah, and it's a partnership that makes a lot of sense.
It does. And she's so familiar with ECF, of course, because she was in charge of that for a while, and that helps a lot, just giving us better ideas of what we can do. So
outstanding. Well, Justin, best of luck here on the fundraising. We'll be checking in with you guys here over the next couple of months.
Thank you.
Justin Gar again with the Strong City Preservation Alliance. What we're going to do is we're going to take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia today. As we continue, again, this is the first of seven different programs over the next month plus to let you know more about these Emporia Community Foundation Match Day participants, the Match Day partners, and let you know more also here as we get closer to the end of the project here today and at the end of our interview, really about how Match Day works if this is very new to you. So We'll continue on our program here in just a second. We do need to take a break. It's 11:22 here on KVUE and KVUE.com as our Talk of Emporia today is brought to you by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Newman Regional Health is proud to welcome Dr. Dylan Landry, General Surgeon to Emporia, Kansas. With years of experience and a strong commitment to patient care, Dr. Landry brings outstanding surgical expertise to our community. Whether you're in need of routine procedures or specialized care, you're in expert hands right here close to home. If you or a loved one may benefit from surgical care, talk to your primary care provider about a referral today. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. This is KVOE News Headlines.
Chuck Samples, KVOE News. Local news headlines today brought to you by John Munkenthaler of RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Call John today at 620-794-3134. Several area bridge projects are moving forward now with state and or federal funding assistance after an announcement by the state yesterday. This includes projects in Chase, Osage, and Greenwood counties. Details are online at KVOE.com. Speaking of state matters, tax revenues for August are ahead of projections again. Monthly collections up 4% from a year ago and almost 4% above estimates. And public services will be coming up here later this month. Celebration of Life, September 18th for Bob Davis, who passed away earlier this month. Longtime public servant, including time on the Lyon County Commission. Headlines today brought to you by John Munkenthaler of RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Call 620-794-3134. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
For the latest news, weather, and sports, tune to 14 KVOE 96.9 FM or log on to KVOE.com. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on Talk of Emporia now at 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, KVOE.com at 11:24 as we continue match day presentation previews basically taking place here today, next Friday, and all the way through middle of October. You can listen in, learn more about these 35 different organizations, which is going to be important here later because once match day hits on November 17th, you'll be able to donate to really the organizations of your choice. You can split your donation however you want to, and we'll learn more about this here fairly soon with Community Foundation CEO Linda Kara Schmidt here as we continue on Talk of Emporia today. We're now shifting south of Emporia. We're going south of the Lyon-Greenwood County line to Main Street Mamas, which has been an active organization here with Match Day for the last several years. Elizabeth Kuzmal joining us. Elizabeth, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good, glad to have you in. How busy are you guys getting into the, you know, we were talking about the school year in a different setting here as we were getting back into the program, but how busy are you guys now as the school year's gotten started?
Oh, my gracious. So most of us that are a member of the Main Street Mamas work in the educational system one way or another. So we are busy with school, we're busy with kids, we're busy with sports, we're running all over, chasing our kids and trying to manage and balance everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How many different projects now with Main Street Mamas do you have going? Because it seems like you've got at least one big project every year, but there's a couple of corollary projects that seem to be connected to those.
Yes. So we started out with really focusing on our park, and we were able to bring in a beautiful new set of equipment a couple of years ago, and we've slowly just added new pieces to the park, and it's exciting to bring in those new pieces, see the kids get excited, but really what we want to work towards right now is a splash pad, and it is very expensive, so match day is huge for us with being able to raise our funds for that, and we'd like to put in a walking path around the park. Give the parents something to do while the kids are playing.
Yeah.
And our park is located right next to our city pool. So This summer, we provided new chairs and tables and umbrellas to the pool. And that was really exciting.
Yeah.
Because as moms, we got to enjoy those items as well. We help out with the baseball park a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing that we are able to do now that is really exciting is being able to give a scholarship to our seniors.
Oh, nice.
And
that's
so this
cool.
year we gave two scholarships to two very deserving members of the senior class that we really wanted to provide that to children who were very active in the community. So that was really important and special to us.
Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the splash pad, a little bit more detail here in just a second, but you mentioned here about chairs, tables.
Yes.
I don't think people realize that's not cheap. It's not one of those things where you can only, okay, let's roll out a like $25 and, you know, get yourself a folding table.
Yeah.
That's going to last more than a couple of years. This is an investment.
Yes, yes. And shipping. Oh, my gracious.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, but it was nice. We could, I think we donated 12 new loungers and a couple of tables, umbrellas, and the chairs to go with those. And mm-hmm. they were utilized all summer. So
good deal. Okay, splash pad.
Yes.
I know we've got one installed in Strong City here over the last couple of years. Just got one in Americus installed here earlier this
yes.
year. Opie continues work on its splash pad here, and they've been working on that for several years. What do you have planned for the splash pad down in Madison, and what type of dollar figure are you looking at right now?
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Well, so the splash pad would not be inside the pool. It would be next to the pool, so it would just be available to children in the community.
Okay.
Not a fee that attaches to going into the pool, which we feel is really important because we want that to be a free item for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are very pricey and expensive, and I think we can afford the what goes above ground. It's getting the underground work
sure.
that we really okay. need to focus on next, the plumbing and water lines and all those fun things.
So, yeah, no yeah. doubt. What has it meant for you guys to be part of really the Match Day effort the last several years, and how critical do you see Match Day funding this specific project going forward?
So I believe this is our eighth year with Match Day, which
that
is
sounds right. Yeah.
crazy. And every year it's been a new adventure. We used to be at the mall, and that was really fun. And now we fundraise and host a big dinner
mm-hmm.
in Madison, and that's a lot of fun because we see a lot more of our community members versus when we were here in Emporia, we saw a lot of Emporia community members, and we were able to make that connection
sure.
To Emporia. But the funds that we raised for Match Day are extremely important, and they've gone towards a lot of big projects for our community, and we cannot thank our community and the Emporia community enough for supporting us and helping us get back.
Recognizing the mission here, too.
Yeah.
What do you have ahead between now and officially the Match Day date, November 17th?
So we plan to host a dinner right before Match Day funds are due, and that's been really big for us. We host it at our senior center, which is a smaller building, but it has a huge kitchen, and our senior center actually closed down a couple years ago, but it's still a very nice facility, so we're able to utilize that and utilize all the cooking equipment there.
That helps.
It does. It's big. So that is what we have planned right now. And of course, we'll be putting out our signs soon and advertising on Facebook. And usually those donations start rolling in pretty soon when we start to advertise. But it's nice to get everybody into the little building and talk and catch up with everybody.
Good deal. Well, worthy project, and really appreciate you joining us here today. And
yeah, thank you.
Good luck with it here the next
thank
couple
you.
Months. All right. Again, Elizabeth Kuzma with Main Street Mamas. I'm going to shift over to my right for the first time here in the program. And Leland Danes, Kansas Spanish Speakers, your turn. How are
wonderful.
Things going for you getting into the weekend?
Well, as you've probably been paying attention, Chuck, because you guys have been reporting this week a lot on what's been happening with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we did
yes.
finally make that name change we've been alluding to, and that was a big step to go from Emporia Spanish Speakers to Kansas Spanish Speakers. And then, of course, just on Wednesday, we were able to announce and share with the world that Emporia became the first certified welcoming community in the state of Kansas.
Yep.
And I believe, I'll have to fact check this, the first, if not one of the first rural communities in the entire country, rural being under 50,000, to receive that designation. So it really doesn't come as a big surprise to me because we all have known and believed Emporia and the surrounding area to be very welcoming.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course, as you know and many listeners may be aware, our work is centered on making sure that all people feel welcome, regardless of the language they speak or where they come from. And there's been a lot of work to do in that respect. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, the work of Emporia Spanish Speakers over the last, what, 7-8 years has obviously grown and developed versus what you had initially started. It's taken, I hate to use the phrase, a life of its own, but it sure seems that, it's done that, but at the same time, it seems like you've been doing simply a natural progression of what you started with.
Yeah. As I've stated before, I didn't envision a lot of this. When I started this organization, it was a social community club. And there was never the intention at that time to develop into a 501c3, whether that be locally or beyond. And now we're beyond.
So, much beyond, yeah.
And, you know, we're doing workshops not only in the state of Kansas, but in neighboring states. We'll be in Nebraska here later this month. We'll be potentially in Arkansas and, of course, all over the state of Kansas doing workshops, trainings, seminars, you name it, and working with these communities. And now with the announcement of the certified welcoming, we anticipate a lot of communities, many of who already reached out and said, we want that. How do we get that? And so we see our role as educators, as mentors. We are leading in a lot of respects in the work that we're doing, and we want to share that with others. So yes, Chuck, it's far exceeds anything I ever imagined. And while we think we have plans and it does seem to be progressing in a very natural way, that is intentional. We still don't always know what may come. And we're simply here as problem solvers and bridge builders. And when problems come at our doorstep, our response is, si, como no. Yeah, of course. Let's figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. How did COVID change the game for you and kind of change your direction? And for folks that haven't been paying attention over the last 9 months, how did Tyson Foods and the closure of Tyson change your direction?
Yeah. You know, COVID wasn't perhaps as significant because at that time in 2020, we were still a social club. We weren't a nonprofit. We weren't a 501c3 until 2023. And so we only had two programs at that time. We had our language exchange, which is how we started, and we had our Los Puentes program, which had just begun literally that February of 2020. And then by March, the whole world was shutting down. So it was relatively easy at that time for us to pivot to some digital avenues. So our student from ESU that was leading our youth program was able to record some instructional videos that we shared with the kids that were enrolled, and our language exchange went Zoom, like most of the world did at that time. Now, Tyson this past year has been far more impactful. We were operational at that time when that announcement was made, and it has consumed the bulk of the work we've done this year. In fact, we started as a language club, but today we would really identify ourselves as a community development organization. And I think the Tyson response is really highlights that evolution and how we operate and what we do and how we serve. And our organization has been integral to that response. Of course, we know 800 families affected, of which 65% or so were Hispanic employees, and the vast majority of those limited English or predominantly Spanish speaking. And so just off the top of my head, I can think of the 250 people we helped get on unemployment, the 150 people we helped with applications, the 80 people that we helped build resumes, and then the countless people that we pointed to ESL programs, the technical college and their Spanish language industrial cabling program, CDL courses. We view this as, you know, there's the band-aid that has to happen at first. People got to try to get jobs or get on unemployment to fill the gap of this news and what's happening.
Yep.
But there's the personal development that occurs long beyond that. We want these people to develop their skills, to learn English, to pick up a new trade so that they can improve their chances of being gainfully employed and perhaps pursue a career that is fulfilling to them or something they hadn't originally thought of.
Yeah, and looping back here to the name change from Emporia Spanish Speakers to Kansas Spanish Speakers, just the timing makes the match day push here for you guys. You talk about well-timed. This is well-timed for you guys.
Yeah. You know, I think from a financial perspective, expanding our reach initially, you know, I don't think there's a great impact there. We are, as always, we want to control the quality of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So when we think about expanding statewide, it will look – a lot of our digital services will be the first things we can offer. So translation, for example, we can translate materials for companies and organizations all across the state, technically anywhere, because most of that's digitized. Mm-hmm. And so they can send us materials. We can translate it. We can send it back. That doesn't require a lot on our end other than the time, and that's a service we charge a fee for. We can do employment verification, so bilingual verification. If you're hiring someone and you want to validate their bilingual skills, we can conduct an interview. And of course, the work that my outreach team does, the health insurance, the asylum seeking, all of the services that they provide can be done via phone or video call. And so a vast majority of what we can do can be done cost effectively. And most of the match day dollars, which I'm sure this is a question you're getting to, well, how will that be used then, Leland?
Exactly, yeah.
They will continue for the time being to be very predominantly utilized right here in our area. And so the counties, obviously Lyon County and the surrounding counties affected by the Emporia Community Foundation and their mission is where most of those dollars are going to be spent. And it's going to continue to be those programs that we were talking about, the Mi Negocio Academies, which help develop our entrepreneurs, the response to closures such as Tyson and the ongoing development of our community members. That's how those dollars are spent right here locally. And as we've hinted to in the past, we are now continuing to eyeball and progress towards more physical spaces. We are looking at neighborhood revitalization. We are looking at community center type spaces. And these dollars will make those goals a reality. There are a lot of houses in our neighborhoods, particularly in the south and east portion of our community, that could use some love. And we'd like to bring those back up to speed. And so those are projects we're getting into that are a little bit more tangible even perhaps. That
sure.
I know donors get excited about being able to see physical changes. Well, we're
to
working
see the results
well.
Of their work. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And even though you can't see a lot of that individual development, I will always be a believer that investing in human resources should always be our top priority. And while you not may be able to see that physical structure change like you can a house remodel, for example, the impact of developing and investing in the people that reside in Emporia and the surrounding area will always have the most profound impact.
Okay. Well, Leland, best of luck here. We'll be obviously highlighting your exploits here over the next couple of months here. We really appreciate your time. Leland Daines with Kansas Spanish Speakers, one of our guests here on the Talk of Emporia today. We're going to take our final break. We will be chatting here shortly with Christy Reinhardt and Philip Hying of Matfield Green Works to get a perspective on what they've got going on in southern Chase County. And we've been talking a little bit here about what's going to be taking place here from Linda Kara Schmidt's chair. We'll be bringing her on here as well as we continue Talk of Emporia here today. It is now 11:39 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Our Talk of Emporia, as usual, brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Newman Regional Health is proud to welcome Dr. Dylan Landry, General Surgeon, to Emporia, Kansas. With years of experience and a strong commitment to patient care, Dr. Landry brings outstanding surgical expertise to our community. Whether you're in need of routine procedures or specialized care, you're in expert hands right here close to home. If you or a loved one may benefit from surgical care, talk to your primary care provider about a referral today. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An even more disappointing monthly jobs and unemployment report than last month's. Analysts were expecting employers to add around 75,000 jobs in August. The actual figure was just 22,000, according to the Labor Department. The unemployment rate was expected to hold steady, but it went up to 4.3%. ABC's Alexis Christophorus with one bright spot.
Once again, it's health care. We saw a decent number of jobs added there, but it was almost completely offset by another loss in federal government jobs. Government jobs down about 92,000 since the beginning of the year.
Russian President Putin says that any foreign troops deployed to Ukraine would be considered legitimate targets by Russian forces. At least 450 workers at a Hyundai battery plant in Georgia are under arrest after what immigration police call their biggest ever raid. New York joining several states making vaccines more available at pharmacies without a prescription. This is ABC News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Final segment of Talk of Emporia. It's now 11:42 on KVOE and KVOE.com as we wrap things up here for the week. We will have Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center, with us Tuesday. Talk of Emporia from 11:06 to about 11:50, give or take a couple of minutes. And we have our second in our series of seven match day participant previews and profiles coming up next Friday here on KVOE and KVOE.com as we continue again steaming towards match day, which is officially November 17th. And we're pleased to have with us Christy Reinhardt and Philip Hying of Matfield Green Works, which is relatively new to the nonprofit charitable organization side of things here area wide, but very active, Christy. I mean, seriously, you guys, what, formed only a couple of years ago, and you guys have hit the ground running.
Well, we've actually been around since 2013, but this really? Is only our
okay.
second match day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fill us in for folks that are hearing the name for the first time.
Well, Matfield Green Works is an organization whose mission is to connect people to the earth and to each other. And in the past, we had a very successful program series. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, we moved from programs to big projects.
Okay. And what type of projects did you move to? Let me ask you that.
Well,
you opened the door. So.
Yeah. Our project last year was the green. And that was one of the things that we used our match day money for was the green. So for those of you not familiar with Matfield Green, we're a tiny little community located on the Flint Hill Scenic Byway, which is one of the top 10 most iconic drives in the country.
Mm, awesome.
And it stretches from Council Grove down to Cassidy, and it is drop-dead gorgeous. But the problem was, along those 43 miles of road, there was no public maintained place to pee.
You kind of need a stop, don't
well,
you?
Yeah. If you, you know, it created a barrier to people being able to enjoy the Flint Hills.
Sure.
If you've got a potty training toddler or grandma and you know you're going to go on a adventure and there's no place to stop, you'll reroute yourself.
Yeah. And you'll take yourself away from what's out there and or you'll just buzz through and you're not going to really enjoy the ride.
Right. So we had a vacant lot that was full of stones and yuccas, and we have turned it into a beautiful, beautifully designed, accessible rest area and
nice.
Mini park. We have a handicapped accessible restroom. We have a picnic shelter. We have picnic tables that you can wheelchair up to.
Good deal.
We have a bike repair stand and a place to wash bikes. And we are, with match day funds, using it as a match for a Department of Commerce Towns grant. And we are installing native gardens. And that's kind of, we're in the midst of starting that project right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created a little jewel as a place to stop, and it's used every day.
That's
we've seen people wait in line to use the bathroom. So we've also got
yeah.
people who schedule a stop in Matfield for a picnic or people within the community that come and use the park. So it's also exciting that a local landowner, there was a decrepit house in back of the green,
mm-hmm.
and they demolished and removed that so that we now have a big, beautiful open space and removed one of the last of the older buildings in Matfield. So
mm-hmm.
it's been incredibly successful. It's, you know, we're a plucky band of volunteers. Our board does a tremendous amount of the work and fundraising. There's only 8 of us. But we have partners and friends all over the region and, frankly, all over the world.
Philip, I'll have to ask you, how surprised or are you surprised by really, I guess, maybe the the initial impacts here from the Green Project over the last couple of years, and what that's really, I guess, maybe meant for Matt Field Green as a community gathering spot.
I'm not surprised by the impact because there was such a need beforehand. As Christy said, there was no public restroom anywhere nearby. Mm-hmm. And also, there's just a lot of activity. Matt Field Green is such a quirky little jewel of a, what is our population, 55 people or something like that?
On a good day.
Yeah. Actually, maybe it's 56 because Derek and Catherine had a kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're up to 56 now. So, but it's a great mix of people in an absolutely gorgeous setting with roads that radiate out from the town into some of the most beautiful countryside you'll see anywhere in the world, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so we were confident that if we built this, it would immediately be a popular destination. And we plan on making it even more popular. We've, as Christy mentioned, we've got a bike stand there with some basic bike maintenance tools. But Matt Field, as you know from Unbound, mm-hmm. here is a gravel cycling mecca in a way. And so now regional gravel cyclists can come down. They have a place to park their car. They have a place to walk, wash their bike or work on their bike if they need it. They have a restroom where they can change out of their travel clothes into their cycling clothes. And then when they come back, they have the picnic shelter where they can sit in the shade and eat something and recover or whatever. And then also Matt Field has a couple of really nice Airbnbs. So if people want to come and make a weekend or a vacation of exploring the exploring the region on their bikes, you know, that's something they can do. And then also part of our mission is connecting people to each other and the earth through Tallgrass Prairie and art. And so across the street we've got a building that used to be something of a community center, art gallery, information center, event space, and we're gearing up to, once we get the landscaping done on the Green Park, we're going to start focusing on revitalizing that building so that there will be a kind of a symbiotic network between the Green with its facilities and then the bank will be, like I said, a community center, information center, art gallery, event space. So it'll be a little hub in our little town so people can definitely enjoy the beauties and treasures of our area.
You know, one of the things I haven't mentioned is, you know, the folks that are in here, or and you know, in the case of Victoria and Leland, they had other projects, so they have headed off to those. The smiles as these guys here, and we'll see this throughout the process, and I wish that we had the camera still active, but once everybody's in here, they're talking about their projects, they're talking about the organizations, the points of pride that are here, and that you'll hopefully you're able to gather that here through the airwaves and through the interviews and through the tone that people are answering these questions that we provide. And Christy, as Philip's going through that, you've got that smile on your face because clearly you guys have had an impact not only on Matt Field Green but for a much wider area.
Well, and that's been one of the great benefits of Match Day for us, is to meet other nonprofits, other plucky bands of volunteers that are doing great things for their community. So that's been, for us, like one of the biggest benefits, besides giving us a calendar and a structure, because our board is very creative. We're artists and architects, and not necessarily the most rule-bound, calendar-bound, organized group of people.
Understand
so
that.
So having the structure and support from the Emporia Community Foundation, Linda is incredibly patient with us, it has been incredibly beneficial. And it's just been so exciting to be part of this bigger group.
You know, and watching it grow.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, you think, you know, oh, there's more people here, more organizations this year, this is more competition. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's more people to meet and learn from and network with and steal their ideas. And I want a big dinner now. and mostly what we want is a new roof.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's what our goal is with this year's match day. As Philip mentioned, we've knocked the green out of the park, and we are now working on the bank building. The bank building is the last remaining commercial structure left in Matfield. It's a 100-year-old bank that we were able to take over in 2013 and use it as a welcome center and artist space and meeting space. And about 2019, we developed a leak in the roof. And that leak in the roof mysteriously has not gone away and has created some problems with the floor now. We need to do before we do anything else is we need to put a roof on our building. We applied for grant funding and were not awarded grant money for our roof, so we are solely relying on donations to put a roof and stabilize that building so that we can then see what it can become.
Right. And really quickly, Philip, before we wrap things up here, that visitor center, how do you see that, you know, once the roof's fixed, everything's good structurally here with the bank building, how do you see that just kind of layering on top of what you've already done?
Well, already in the past, I think I might have mentioned that there was a series of art exhibitions and community events and so on going on there. And so we immediately have kind of a local habit of looking for activities there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I think it'll grow from that base because of the synergy with the park next door. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I guess I didn't. But we have partnered with Unbound, and we were the last aid station on the Unbound XL bicycle race last year.
Okay.
And so we had 150 extraordinary athletes from all over the world coming through and all stopping at the park there, and they were really impressed. It was an amazing scene for us.
I can imagine.
You know, aside from the cyclists, there were other people. So there were scores, you know, easily 300 people total that came through, saw the place, bonded with the place through the hospitality. One of our board members made a giant pot of pasta, and if you've ever seen hungry cyclists dive into the pasta.
You should not have told me that. That's going to be one of my stops next year. No, I'll just eat.
You know, all these people now have a feeling for and an understanding of what Matfield Green has to offer, and I think a lot of them, when they had the opportunity, would come back and participate in whatever is going on at the bank event center.
We also have a developing relationship with the Kansas Arts Commission that is very excited about having another rural venue in order to showcase art.
Talk about that, because I remember us writing a story about that here about 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. And even though our building is not completely stable, we put up some plywood on the floors and blocked an area off, and we've had a donation of a kiln and a wheel from a visiting artist, and have already had outdoor pottery firing demonstrations.
Nice.
And upcoming, we're having a Matfield Green Fall celebration where we will have artists put a light installation in the front windows of the bank, and also some art installations in the park and in the area next to the bank. So we're excited about being able to create this opportunity and partner with some of our regional and state partners to create these opportunities for people to come and have their creativity set on fire by the beautiful prairie.
Well said. Well, you guys are doing great work here in Matfield Green, and really appreciate the chance to let folks know more about it. And best of luck here as you guys continue with your match day efforts here this year.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Philip Hang and Christy Reinhardt joining us here from Matfield Green Works. And with that in mind here, Linda Kara Schmidt slides the microphone over. And, boy, we're off and rolling here for us. But, I mean, you guys have been hard at this since last year, basically. An exciting time, though, as we now move to that two-month mark before the official match day.
It is very exciting, and I mean, you just hear in the incredible work going on behind the scenes.
Right.
I'm so glad your listeners are tuning in today to hear the work being done by mostly volunteers, and it's just all about keeping, you know, rural communities alive and making sure, Leland said it, you know, it's the people behind the causes and the missions that are most important. important. The work is being done by the people that believe in, you know, a sustainable community. And so it's just exciting to be part of it. We've been, yes, busy. The applications went out in March. We announced the participants in May, and it's been one thing after another, and here we are at the finish line.
Pretty much. Well, not quite, but we're close. We can at least see it from here. The energy just in this room here today, I think, really bodes well for these individual groups, but also I think really for Match Day 2025 in general.
Yeah, we're really excited. And I mean, I just want to take a minute to thank everybody who has supported Match Day over the last, this will be our 12th year. Mm-hmm. It takes a community to make this work. It's not just about the work being done. It's about the people who believe in the work. And, you know, your listeners who come out and support us, the people that support the Emporia Community Foundation. And, you know, none of this would work if we didn't have generous hearts out there making sure that they support the causes that are dear to everybody.
And one of the things here, you know, this is a good point to remind folks kind of how Match Day works, but also to highlight the Match Day pool, those donors that are making this all possible.
It's so true, and we could not do it without them. And if we've got a minute, I would love to say their
name. Go right ahead. Yeah, because they need to be highlighted.
They really do. We have $170,000 this year available in matching funds. And so for people that don't know, the nonprofits will do their individual fundraising, and then there's a match pool on top of that. And so there's a certain percentage of that $170,000 that will go to each of the nonprofits participating. So it just gives them an opportunity to make a bigger impact with their donations. And donors appreciate that opportunity, too, to make their donation go farther.
Absolutely.
So a big thank you to everybody, but most specifically our 2025 matching donors. And those are the Clint Boyer 79 Fund, the Curtis McQuarrie Legacy Fund, the ECF Fund for the Future, the Emporia Masonic Lodge, number 12, the Gilpin Family Fund, Jane and Bernard Riebel, Patterson Family Foundation, Preston Family Trust, Charles and Merrill Rail, the Tressler Foundation, the Waddell Family Charitable Fund, and W.S. and E.C. Jones Testamentary Trust with Bank of America. And then I also just wanted to thank UMB. They always sponsor our Match Day videos, which we'll be doing a public premiering on September 19th at the Lyon County History Center. And a thank you again to Lisa and Greg for hosting us this year.
Outstanding. And, you know, for folks that don't know, that maybe this is their first time they've heard of Match Day, or maybe the first time they've considered participating, how does this work for the 17th of November?
Yeah, basically starting October 17th, people can start donating towards the 2025 Match Day. They can give donations between October 17th and November 17th, which is like the big culmination day. Mm-hmm. And all of those dollars will be part of the matching pool. And they can give cash, you know, credit card. They can go online like a lot of people do. They can stop by and drop a check off either to the nonprofit or to our office at 527 Commercial. But something also that people might forget, that they can give the gift of grain or the gift of livestock. If they have a required minimum distribution through their IRA, they can donate that towards a charitable cause. And we have a donation form. And like you mentioned earlier, Chuck, they can mark all of their money to go to one agency, or they can split it up and go to all 35 agencies. They just let us know what dollar amount or percentage of their gift they want to go where. And then part of what we are required to do is to make sure that their donation goes towards the intended cause, you know, that they would like to support.
You know, and before we wrap things up here, our program here today came, 20 minutes after the Community Foundation actually announced something which is not related to Match Day, but I think this also highlights really about what the Community Foundation is all about. This is the USD 253 Endowment Fund with applications now underway.
Yes, we just announced this starting September 1st. We are a few days behind.
That's all right.
It's the holiday.
It's all right.
Starting September 1st and throughout the month of September, the Emporia Public School Endowed Fund is open for grant applications, and this supports USD 253 teachers, and anybody can apply that is working with children in that school district. And really, the focus is on alternative learning strategies, creative teaching ideas, and encouraging lifelong learners. So if they've got a project that they're working on that might fall into that category, we encourage the teachers to apply for this grant. It's up to $750 once a year, and it's really for non-budgetary items. So it would be things that fall outside of their normal budget. And so they have until the end of September to get their application in, and then our committee will meet and make some announcements on the grant awards.
Sounds good. Well, we'll be following that, but you know, you're back with us here next week. We talk more about our Match Day participants, and this has been a good intro today. So looking forward to the remaining six programs to come. I had to think about it there for a second.
Well, Chuck, we just really thank you and KBOE. You guys all do an incredible job, and we could not do this. And I know I speak on behalf of the nonprofits. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to have a voice in this. This is an important event. It's important for all of our communities, and you guys lead the charge, and we're grateful.
And we're grateful to be, you know, able to use our airwaves for this program, and really also to give these community groups a voice so that they can kind of expand their reach and hopefully get better success for it. So we're grateful for the opportunity to be involved, and we're just glad to do it.
Well, thank you. And I think it's helpful for the community to know the work that's being done.
I agree.
Might hear a name or a mission, but the, you know, like we said earlier, the people, the leaders behind those causes, those stories, those impactful stories are really what touches somebody's heart.
Agreed. So, yeah. Agreed. So glad to have our airwaves for it. And again, Friday's Talk of Emporia between now and October 17th here for Emporia Community Foundation Match Day participants. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck to all of you. And we'll continue to highlight what you guys do here as we continue towards Match Day. Appreciate your time with us, and best of luck to all of you.
Thank you very much.
That'll wrap up our Talk of Emporia here today. We did go over the 12 o'clock hour, but we'll get back on schedule here shortly. It's now 12:02 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local. It's 12:02.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, up next.
At Bunge, their strength is in their partnerships between farmers and the global marketplace. So when it comes to navigating the soybean market, just know that they'll stand by you long after the harvest is done. Bunge, built on two centuries of farmer support. Visit them online at bunge.com. Connecting farmers to the world since 1818.
KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team today. Lots of rain chances, or an extended rain chance through the day today. Temperatures holding steady in the low 60s. For tonight, chances of showers do persist, although they should be ending by mid to late evening, otherwise clearing out overnight with a low of 48. Saturday, we'll have a lot of sunshine, a light southwest breeze, a high of 75 degrees, and Sunday, with more sunshine, a high of 76. That's your forecast on KVOE, live and local.
Public auction Saturday, September 6th, 10 a.m., 2040 Morningside Drive, Emporia. A very nice, clean collection of vehicles, furniture, tools, yard art, gun supplies, holiday and home decor, and more. For pictures and information, visit kansasauctions.net/JNDAuction.
Your man is waiting at the Kansas State Fair. Country chart topper Josh Turner takes the stage.
So baby, why don't we just dance?
With Jason Scott and the High Heat on Sunday, September 7th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $35 and include gate admission. Deep voice, timeless hits. Don't miss this powerhouse performance. Visit KansasStateFair.com for your tickets.
Why don't we just dance?
We got Modern Marriage, and I'm like, you know what's interesting? Children refuse to modernize.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Katie Faust.
They are not going along with your form of modernity. Children are very stubborn. For some reason, they still insist on coming only from a man and a woman. And biologically, they still only discover their identity from that man and that woman. And like you said,